Okay, cool. Praise God. Technology's working, and I'm working it. Welcome to the Village Vineyard. My name's Peter. I'm one of the members of the council here. Joshua is out of town this weekend at a men's retreat, staffing a men's retreat, which is outstanding. He texted me this morning, said that they're having a great weekend. Louie's going to throw up the announcements here. If you haven't been here in a few weeks, we've been taking a different order to Sunday. So we start with about 5 minutes of worship, do announcements in the teaching, and then we just go all out with worship after that. So we do, as Joshua said last weekend, we do believe in more than 5 minutes of worship, but we've sort of changed up the order of service in the last weeks, and we've been loving it. All right, Lou, if you want to cue up those announcements. Okay. I'm going to pull them up right here. I'm not going to pull them up right here. Okay. This makes it a little bit tricky. Andy, why don't you come up with your announcement? Andy's got a special announcement this morning, so we'll start with his, and then maybe a few of the slide-based announcements will be ready after that. So here's Andy.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's been a while since I've been up in front here. I used to do announcements way back, so I kind of miss that sometimes. But anyways, I just wanted to give you a quick announcement about an event. And I don't even really like to use the word event, but this upcoming Friday, February 25th, I'm pulling together what's called a concert of prayer. And I learned about these a few years ago. And basically, you just get together on an evening and you just pray a couple hours for the world. And you really follow that model in Acts where it talks about, you know, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so that's what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time just praying for the neighborhood, praying for the city, praying for the state, and then just praying for the world. A couple months ago, I was watching this documentary, and it was on North Korea. And it just really struck me how, you know, oppressed people live, because they were talking about, and North Korea is still, like, if you... Like, for instance, if one of your family members were to leave the country, the remaining family members would get thrown in concentration camps. So there's just still so much oppression in the world, and there's oppression everywhere. And just that we really need to bathe that in prayer. So first of the year, I bought this book called Operation World. If you ever get a chance to see this, if you want to see it after the service, I'd love to show it to you because it highlights what's going on in every country in the globe. Talks about what's going on with the church, what's not going on with the church, and it's really a good book, but it just kind of lays upon your heart that God desires to work in the world. So this upcoming Friday evening, 7 p.m. right here, we'll meet for about 2 hours. It's going to be concert of prayer. It'll be an enjoyable time. So that's the 25th of February, and I hope to see you there. If you have any questions, see me after the service.
Thanks, Andy. One of the things that I just want to honor Andy, he's a member of our church, is just pressing in right now. So he's growing. He started leading the home group that we're a part of, actually, about 2 months ago, and he's just been leading that faithfully, facilitating great conversation over the sermon and its questions. And so I just really actually want to honor him and bless you for just pressing into God. So thanks. Louie, can you give me an update about how we're doing? Okay, cool. Great. Okay, so this is a big one. This would be next Sunday, church work party. Who here has noticed that the church looks a lot more sweet than it did a year ago? It feels a lot more sweet, too, doesn't it? And I just love that Seth and his team have really brought this expectation of excellence to what we do. So he's transformed this space. His team's transformed this space. This morning we're in what we call the prayer furnace. That's just an awesome space just to gather before church and just soak in the presence of God and ask the Lord for what he has for today. So Seth, thank you guys so much. And to follow up on that, we have a work party next Sunday. So pizza will be provided. It's from 1:30 to 4:30, so you got to be ready to give 3 hours. Okay. Next. Okay, so this is a silent auction to fight against forced prostitution. That's good to fight against. And it's at Capital University's Campus Center. That's March 18th, so you got about a month before that. Okay? That's with Justice Mission and Grace Haven, two great organizations we've worked with in the past. Okay. So City Vision is hosting training workshop Beyond Charity with civil rights activist and author John Perkins. That's in a few weeks. All these slides are available. All the announcements come through a weekly email. So raise your hand if you are getting the weekly emails with all these announcements. Okay, if you're not, you go to villagevineyard.org and you sign up at the top to receive the weekly mailings. Okay, next. Okay, cool. IFI has a training coming up as well. So we kind of botched the slides this morning, which is okay, actually, because I think we need to encourage you guys to sign up online if you haven't already. Because I don't know about you, but nobody's writing anything down, so I'm guessing all these details don't mean anything to you right now. You'll forget. So sign up online, villagevineyard.org at the top, and that'll show you each week. You'll get an email with how to what's going on. All right. I'm going to pull this up. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that you love us. Father, we just pray an increase of your presence right now. Thank you, Father, that you are here with us. Father, more of you, more of your presence. Each heart right now, every heart, Lord, that's disenfranchised from you or afraid of you or turned away from you, Lord, just through the blood of Christ right now, that we'd come before you to hear your words to us today. Hear your words to us today. Thank you, Father. I pray, Father, that you would anoint my speaking, Father, with your words. Father, I have no interest in speaking my own words. Father, I want to speak your words. Your words are what heal us. Your words are what grow us. Your words are what change us. Your words are what call us into what you have for us, Father. I pray for a softening of each and every heart. Thank you, Father. Okay. All right, so I don't know. Does anybody here go to, like, the same restaurant all the time? Okay. There's a certain comfort in that. You know, you go to the restaurant, you know that the pad thai is good. You know, you're always there. Some people like pad thai. Or you go to the restaurant and the chicken and noodles is like, solid, you know. So you go there and you just kind of, that's what you do. There's also a bit of a hindrance with that. You can't do anything new. You can't try anything new. So I want to encourage you guys. I think a word we are getting before service is that the Lord's going to break out something new today, and I want your hearts to be prepared for something new. So right now, I just want to actually just release just an expectation for something new today. So even if you always come here and get the chicken and noodles, maybe be interested in looking through the menu first today. So, okay. So the message today is called, I'm waiting for it to come up, Holy Spirit Transformation. The last few weeks, so the message today is Holy Spirit Transformation. The last few weeks, Joshua has, we've been in a sermon for probably 2 months on the Holy Spirit. So Brad started us off with about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Since then, Joshua has laid out two great messages. One's called Moving from Holy Spirit Visitation to Habitation. Moving from visitation to habitation. And then last week, Joshua said Holy Spirit habitation comes through Holy Spirit desperation. Okay? Louis, if you'd go to the next slide. Part of what Joshua was talking about last week was sort of like this Alcoholics Anonymous model. The first step in AA is saying, I'm powerless. I'm stuck. If you were to find me on a map right now, I'm here. Stuckville, or something like that, right? Can't do anything to change it. And so he was kind of challenging us to say, look, bring the facade down. Stop medicating. Where are you at? Where are you at? No condemnation, but this notion. By the way, Ephesians 6 bears this out. Ephesians 6 tells us how to defeat the enemy, right? It tells us how to stand our ground against the enemy. The first thing it says is put on the belt of truth. Now, you would think that that's the Word of God, because the Word of God is true, but later on it says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So what's the belt of truth? I think it's being honest with yourself, and God, and others. Where are you at? Where are you at? And interestingly, in the Roman armor, if you didn't have the belt, everything else fell off you. So again, it's this AA sort of first step thing. My son agrees with me. It's this AA first step thing. If you don't have truth, if you're not operating in the realm of truth about where you're at, you're powerless to defend yourself against the enemy. You're powerless to change. So we're going to start actually with following up on some questions that Joshua gave us last week. Okay, so I do this with my students. I'm a teacher. This is called Fist of Five. So zero would mean totally, totally not me. Five would mean that is so me, I'm like that definition in the dictionary, okay? And one would be like not really, two like a little bit, three a little bit more, four like a lot, five like totally me, okay? So everybody's going to actually raise their hand in response to these two questions. So the first question is, how angry, so this is a day-to-day basis, how angry, sad, lonely, depressed, bitter, and melancholy am I? So if you're like totally that, that'd be like a five. Zero, one, okay? Being honest with you guys, I'm probably like a one, I'd say. Okay, cool. So the purpose is to help you. There's something in deciding, right? Like this is where I'm at right now. Okay, so let's try it kind of from the other perspective with the fruits of the Spirit. Joyful, patient, peaceful, compassionate, kind, self-controlled. How much of that are you? How much of that are you? Okay, five is a lot of that. One's not much of it. Okay, great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate your honesty. There's something about declaring, this is at least where I'm at right now. This is where I'm at. If you're trying to get from Cincinnati to Kansas City, and you're trying to look at a map with how to get there, but you're like, I will not admit I am in Cincinnati. I want to get to Kansas. I will not admit that I am in Cincinnati. You know what I mean? It doesn't work. It doesn't work to not, you can't get to Kansas City if you don't know where you're at right now. You don't know to north, south, east, west, whatever. So in either case, the belt of truth is actually what allows us to start to experience change in our lives. Now, Joshua kind of, I feel like, provided a message that was, it was a hard one. You know, he's like, stop medicating, stop pretending, get honest. Where are you at in terms of these? Do you have the fruits of the Spirit? Positive and negative, right? Where are you at in terms of these? Now, so with the Lord in preparing this week and the last couple weeks for this message, I feel like the Lord was speaking something along the lines of how then do you change? Because we need to know where we're at, but we also need to know how to get to where we're going, okay? And the Lord, by the way, the Lord has not called us to mediocrity in his kingdom. Amen. The Lord has not called us to mediocrity in his kingdom. He has provided his Holy Spirit that we would walk in joy, peace, patience, compassion, kindness, and self-control. He's provided his Holy Spirit that we would minister everywhere that we go. You know what I mean? Like the New Testament life, if you really read about the New Testament life that the apostles walked in, that Jesus walked in and said, greater works than these will you do. It's a radical life. It's a radical life. But he's provided the Holy Spirit such that we can walk in. It's not going to be on our own strength. It's going to be on the Holy Spirit. So let's dig in a little bit. How do we move forward? Okay, Louis, next one. Okay, so this is Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Lord, we just pray that your word, it's your word, it's your word. I am fine with just reading the scripture to you guys the entire time because his word is what carries the anointing. So let's just dig in. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Okay? I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Okay, so Louis, would you go to the next slide, and then I'll have you come back to those? Okay. Real quick lesson, because it's helpful. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a flesh, according to the Bible. Okay, so I just want to make sure. Now, they're intertwined. Do you see what I'm saying? They're like mixed together, and they're meant to be. They're meant to be. We hear good music and worship, and it stirs our emotions, which is our soul, and that propels our spirit. Those are meant to be, they're meant to work together. And you can be more clear-headed in terms of like seeking after the Lord after you go for a run. Josh and I went for a run yesterday, and we're like, man, it just feels good to go for a run. It affects your flesh can affect the rest of you and vice versa. So they're mixed together, but sometimes it's helpful to tweeze them apart. Even though they're supposed to be together and intertwined in our lives, if we tease them apart, we can actually see that the three of them do exist, and therefore we can work on the three of them. Okay? So sometimes if you don't know that they exist, it's very difficult to work on them. So you need to know what the ingredients are in order to make something. Okay, so we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. And there's a little bit of a mystery. We also have a spirit inside of us, and that was dead because of sin. It was, when we were born again, it was risen to life, and the Holy Spirit informs that spirit. And that's still a little bit mysterious to me. But we have the Holy Spirit. We have our soul. I think this is going to require a little bit of definition. Our soul is our mind, just like your thoughts, your will, what you want to do, and your emotions, attitudes. You get the idea. Mind, will, and emotions. That's our soul. Then we have our flesh, and that's obvious too. So you have an actual body, and it has needs, desires, wants in and of itself. Like, for instance, I can just be kind of like sitting here, like, oh, good sermon, you know? And all of a sudden, I can be like, I'm hungry, right? And I not only feel hungry, I'll want to walk out to get a bagel, right? Which is okay, but that's my flesh and its desires, okay? The flesh's desires are not bad. We just need to harness them. Do you get it? I've heard great teachings recently from someone named Chris Valadin about our sexuality. God gave us a sex drive. Be fruitful and multiply. Genesis. That's a desire of the flesh, right? What's the key? You need to harness it, right? You need to harness it. If you're married, you need to harness it towards your one spouse. You need to harness your sex drive towards one person, your spouse. If you're not married yet, guess what? You need to harness it towards the same person, your future spouse. So your flesh has desires. That's okay. The key is harnessing them. Okay, eating, it's good. If you eat all the time and you can't stop yourself from eating, which sometimes I feel like, what I need to do is harness my flesh. I need to not eat. Exercising is good. Resting is good. All of it's good, but if all I ever want to do is lay on the couch, I need to get myself up and go for a run. Okay? And 1 Timothy 4 talks about that. Paul writes to Timothy, I think I'm skipping ahead here a little bit. So Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, I'll pull it up. I've got all my scriptures here ready to rock and roll. Rather, train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, it's of value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So training our flesh is important, and you know what a flesh looks like if it's not trained. It looks like an animal, right? Our flesh, if someone doesn't have control over their flesh, they act like an animal. Eat whenever they want. They do whatever they want. They let their physical desires just, that's it. Whatever my body wants to do, I go do it, okay? And so the way you overcome that is you harness your flesh. And people, anybody can harness their flesh. It's about exercising their will and their mind over their flesh. You're saying, I choose to act like this with my body. Okay? Here's what's interesting, though. We are not very good on our own accord at being able to harness our soul. Because our mind, our thoughts, our will, what we want to do, our emotions. Who here has problems with their emotions? I do. Who here gets stuck in their emotions? Who here acts in ways they don't want to act because of their emotions? Okay, so the question is, how is it that you transform your soul? How is your soul transformed? If you do not, in my opinion, If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you are relatively powerless to transform your soul. Okay? Because here's what happens. Your spirit got raised from the dead when you received Christ. Your soul didn't get anything in that exchange. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why if someone gets born again, in the next minute, they can be involved with sexual sin with their boyfriend or girlfriend. And they got born again. But they still got the same patterns, the same habits of mind, the same thoughts, the same attitudes, the same emotions. Okay. Louis, if you would go to slide 5, please. Well, you don't maybe have the numbers. Next one. Now, I want to play. So, Romans 8 talks about being led by the Spirit. Big S, Spirit. Holy Spirit. Romans 8 talks about being led by the Spirit. I think if you're anything like me, your tendency to read led by the Spirit is something like this. You're like, okay, all who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Your tendency is to feel like being led by the Spirit is someone who's like this. Should I get the Diet Coke or the Coke? Lord, what are you saying? Is it time to brush my teeth now? I'm real esoteric. I'm up in the clouds. There's no fruit on any other part of my life. Do you see what I'm saying? There's this tendency that we read that and we get some sort of hyper-spiritual on it. We're like, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? And it's like you're being like pulled around by like some sort of invisible tether from heaven, you know, like these two fingers just like puppeting you around. It's like, yep, they're crazy. They're led by the Spirit, you know? Okay. That said, sometimes when the Holy Spirit has you do something, it might not be normal. You know, so I'm not dissing that. What I think, though, and Bill Johnson recently talked about this, I think he's spot on, if to be led by the Spirit is to be in a place where the Spirit of God is so strong inside of you and so built up that it informs your mind, will, and emotions. The Spirit informs your mind, will, and emotions about how to think, about how to feel, about what to want. Isn't that crazy? This notion... Who here has experienced it? I'm sure actually most of us have. Who, God's changed your mind? But not like, all right, fine, I won't do it. But like, he changed my heart is what you'll probably have said it. Like, I wanted to do such and such. Now you couldn't get me to do such and such. Right? And that's what happens. There's some of you inside in here that don't want anything to do with old patterns of sin. Do you see what I'm saying? Joshua talked about this last week, but I'll just add in. I used to struggle with pornography up until I was about 20 as well. You couldn't get me to come close to that stuff now. The Spirit of God has changed my will in such a way that stuff, you don't want to get anywhere close to it. Your will is totally different. Your will is totally different. So we are transformed by the Spirit of God. Go to, Louis, the next slide is Romans 12:2, a verse that a lot of you guys probably know. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So it's going to transform our mind and transform our will. It says, be renewed by the transforming of your mind, and it's going to transform our will because we're going to know what God's will is, His perfect will. We're going to trust His will for our lives. So the Spirit transforms our mind and our will. Okay, next slide, Louis. Okay, some of you guys might be struggling with this. So I want to be kind of pretty clear here, because we as a church, okay, so you have a soul and you have a flesh, right? And the way that a lot of the church can tend to work if you don't honor the transformational power of the Holy Spirit is what you do is you die in your soul, like you stop thinking. You're like, I'm not allowed to think anymore because sometimes I think bad thoughts. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop thinking, right? And then you're like, and emotions are bad. I'm going to be emotion neutral, stoic. right? And my will is always wrong. I'm no longer going to have any drive in my life for anything. And then you say, and my flesh is wicked. Okay? And so what you do is you basically, like, you're like, I'm asexual. I have no sex drive. Okay? That's what people do. And if you don't, that, and those are good, and people with good intentions, they want to seek after God. They want to walk in purity. They want to walk in what the Lord has for them, but they don't know the power of the Spirit. God has not appointed to you personally, from your own self, any power to be able to walk out the Christian life as he's called us to. None. What he's appointed to you is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the means in which we are transformed into the image of Christ. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to living according to the flesh. That means, like, the capacity you have is not just limited to the flesh. You've got the Holy Spirit at your disposal. And it says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the what?
Spirit.
If by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay. Louis, go ahead and go to slide 8. Your next one, Romans 8. Who here struggles with condemnation? Me too. So for a long time, I used to struggle with condemnation, and people would tell me, oh, I'm thinking of Romans 8:1. For you. You know, they'd be like, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The trouble is, I was always like, why? Why isn't there? I think there's two parts, and I want to just make this really clear to you guys. There's two reasons why there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. One, our debt's canceled. There was a judicial transaction that happened in the heavens, okay? There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. We're not under the same law anymore. Jesus established a new one. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, God condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the first part is something happened judicially in the heavens. Okay? Satan was, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. And they said, not anymore. Okay? The second thing, this is the part that I think some of us miss. The second thing is, we might receive the grace initially, but then we struggle because we realize we can't walk it out on our own. And so we feel condemned because we're falling. We feel condemned because we don't walk in the power of God. We feel condemned because we don't minister everywhere we go. We feel condemned that we don't walk in joy. We feel condemned all day long. Satan's loving it. Absolutely loving it. He can get us locked up in fear all day, condemnation all day. He just, like, let us run on that little head trip for the rest of the day and not accomplish anything for the kingdom and not walk in joy. And then, you know, if we start coming out of it, he'll come back and throw us another bone so that we get screwed up again. But here's the thing. For those who walk according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. If your mind is only set on the flesh, the mindset on the flesh is death. If you go inward and start looking at yourself introspectively, deeply, you will not find what you like. You'll not find something that you like. Who here does that? Good, we're getting real honest. This is great. So I'm introspection master. You don't find what you like. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset on the Spirit, on the Holy Spirit, is life and peace. Okay. So what I've shared so far is that when we begin to be led by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God gets built up inside of us in such a way that our soul starts to be transformed into the likeness of God. The way that works is that the Spirit's strong and our mind, will, and emotions start to be informed by the Spirit of God, which, of course, inform our flesh as well. Okay, quick testimony. And Megan, are you in here? Okay, cool. Come on up. Quick testimony. My spirit has been built up more and more and more recently, and I'm starting to experience a lot of the fruit of the Spirit in ways that I never have before. So I'm experiencing my spirit starting to be strengthened consistently. It's starting to be on top of my life consistently. It's starting to lead my mind, will, and emotions consistently. So, but that's not always been the case. So I actually wanted to let someone who's seen my process tell you a little bit about me. I make an example of myself. Okay.
So I met Peter before he was a Christian.
Probably take about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That wasn't to tell.
I've got a lot to say. No, I'm just kidding.
We had talked about 5 minutes before, but I'm taking a little long, so.
So Peter became a Christian almost 6 years ago. So he's about a month away from being six years old in the Lord, which is sweet. But when Peter first became a Christian, actually, a lot of things came up that he didn't know were there before because his spirit came alive and a lot of things were revealed.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that Peter has struggled with a lot is anxiety. And oftentimes something would trigger that anxiety, mm-hmm. and it could be just a tiny, tiny thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be having a great day. You know, it'd be really good. Nothing else is going wrong. And he would just spiral down, down and down and down. I was like, what's going on? Like, this is like, it's an awesome day. There's no reason why there should be anything wrong.
Emotions so, out of control.
Yeah. So there'd be anxiety, and that would trigger either anger or self-pity for him. So I don't know if any of you struggle with that, but it's a bummer, you know, and it's a bummer for the people around you. It just really stinks. So, you know, what it looked like for him is this anxiety triggering anger, which totally affected me as his girlfriend then, because, he would direct it towards me a lot. And, you know, mostly that looked like we're having a great day, and then he's just stuck in his head, and just, you know, gloomy, basically. So we're not having any fun at all. And a lot of times, you know, I'd be full of joy, and he'd say, can you just, you know, commiserate with me? Like, you know, that's really being loving, Megan, is, you know, you're filled with joy, basically. And him telling me not to be because, you know, he was wanting me to join his pity party. And one day I told him, I said, I'm not going to come to your pity party. Like, I'm not coming. And so I stopped coming to his pity parties when he had them, which was really good. So, but basically, you know, a lot of you who know Peter now, you have no idea where he's been. And even a lot of people would always say, oh, Peter, he's just so joyful. I mean, it's so good to see him. And I'd be like, yeah, he is. You know, and it's true because he'd be joyful. Like the Lord, he is made to be a joyful man. He would be joyful. But it's like, you know, the people who are closest to you always get your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They always get your stuff. So a lot of times it'd be like, he's joyful, filled with joy. But like when we're alone, he's attacked and he starts that downward spiral. And it's like, man, we're going to feel it. I'm going to feel it. So, you know, that joy, though, the Lord is bringing it. The Lord is bringing it, and he has brung it. I say that Peter is walking in so much freedom now.
Mm-hmm.
It is awesome. It is awesome to be married to him because he is filled with joy. Yeah. I was going to tell you, like, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, because that's who the Lord has made him to be. But it was not by Peter's own strength. Let me tell you, he has sought the Lord, and that is why he's been transformed. So Peter's going to tell you how it is that he was transformed. But I'm just, you know, that's just to tell you that, like, he, where you see him right now is not where he was at. And it was not on his own strength that he is where he is now, or that he's going to a better, like, better place in Lord's joy and peace than he is right now. So that's my testimony.
Great job, sweetie. I just want to bless my wife for sticking with me.
Yes.
And a lot of the transformation, I'll talk about fellowship in a second, but a lot of the reason there's transformation too is that I was discipled really, really well by about 6 different people, but she was the major because she was with me all the time. So I was just real blessed by Megan. Okay, so Louis, did you have the slide about me making an example of myself? There's a slide, Louis, about Galatians chapter 6. That's what we just did, made an example of myself. I just want to say it is a testimony to the Lord what I walk in day to day compared to what I used to walk in, man. My life kind of stank. And like the internal life, like I wasn't saying I'm not thankful for what my life was. Just internally, my life was a mess. It was a total mess. It wasn't much of a blessing to anyone who's around me consistently. And people around me tell me that it's other than that now. So that that's a praise. Okay, so watch this one, Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. So what we want to do now, we've sort of established the necessity of being transformed by the Holy Spirit. And what we want to talk about is how do you do that? Because this whole notion of, well, we'll get to it. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Huh. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Okay. Who here is a farmer? Okay. You know, they had an agrarian society then. So they used a lot of agrarian analogies, parables. Okay, so what do you do in the spring? You sow seed, and then throughout the year you do what? You water it or make sure it's getting water. You maybe pull out weeds. You, that sort of thing. Not a farmer either. And then in the fall, you do what?
Harvest.
You reap a harvest, right? Now, when do you enjoy that harvest, like eating it? Until the next fall, right? So you actually will reap, you'll enjoy the fruit of your labor for an entire year, correct? But you'll also labor for an entire year. Okay, one of the things I want to accomplish today is I want us to become a people that values cultivating the Spirit. That values cultivating the Spirit. Cultivating is sowing, it's tending, and it's reaping. Sowing, tending, reaping. That's what cultivating is. You sow seed, you tend the growing plants, and then you reap the harvest. Okay? So I want us to be a people that that values the cultivation of the Spirit and the Spirit's gifts, the Spirit's fruits. See, here's the funny thing. We read the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, and then maybe we aren't thinking, like, it's like, I'm just not getting any of those fruit. And it's like, oh, shoot, did no one tell you that you needed to plant seeds to get the fruit? Do you know what I mean? So I don't want us to be deceived because God's not mocked because whatever one man sows, that he shall also reap. So we want to, guess what? So here's a good question. What does it mean to sow? Like what, sow? Okay, so, okay, I got to sow to the Spirit. How do you do that? Holy Spirit, I'm sowing to you right now. That's probably not it. Okay, so how do you sow to the Spirit? Interestingly, at the end of that verse, it says, only do not grow weary in doing good, for in due time you will reap a harvest. In due time you will reap a harvest. So watch this. It still uses the word reap, but in place of sow, it says do. Do not grow weary in doing good. That's the sow part. And then it says, in due time you will reap a harvest. That's the reaping part. So sowing is what you do. God's given you a life. He's given you a certain number of hours temporally on this earth. What you do is what you sow. Okay? Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Okay? What you do with your life is what you get in the fall. And then that's what you eat all year long. That's what you eat all year long. If you sow to your flesh, you'll from the flesh reap corruption. So you eat corruption all year. If you sow to the Spirit, you're from the Spirit, reap eternal life. So you eat eternal life all year. The abundant life, the New Testament life. Okay. Now, practically then, how do we go about sowing? How do we go about sowing? And there's three ways. So Louis, stay here for a second. There's the word, there's prayer, and there's fellowship. There's the word, there's prayer, and there's fellowship. There might be other ways to sow. I think if we do these three really well, we'll experience a lot of good things. So there's three ways to sow to the Spirit: the word, prayer, and fellowship. Okay, so Louis, actually go ahead and go to the next one with the Mark chapter 4. Okay, why do we start with the word? Why do we start with the word? We start with the word because the word is the good seed. I mean, Jesus is really clear about this. In fact, in Mark chapter 4, right at the beginning, do you not understand this parable? This is Jesus talking to his disciples, who is making known the mysteries of the kingdom. He says, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Jesus thought this parable and its interpretation was at the core of your understanding of the kingdom of God. At the core of it. Because here's what happens. If we do not sow good seed, the rest of the cultivation process is for null. For not, I don't know how you say that. For nothing, nada, for not. And that's like an N-A-U-G-H-T. Cool. Okay, so it says, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. Now, interestingly, too, in Isaiah 61, it talks about oaks of righteousness, that we would become oaks of righteousness for the display of his splendor. There's something about having the word of God sown into our hearts, and it starts to bear fruit in due season, which takes some time, and it starts to bear more fruit. And it starts to bear more fruit. It gets pruned by the Holy Spirit. It starts to bear even better fruit. It grows up into oaks of righteousness. Our heart, if we've known the Lord for a while, is meant to be an increasing, all the time when you know the Lord, it's meant to be an increasingly beautiful and abundant garden filled with oaks of righteousness, yielding their fruit in due season, with their roots planted next to the stream. That's what the status of our heart is supposed to be like. So it always starts with the word. So get practical. Do you have a Bible reading plan? I didn't until 2 weeks ago. Now, I read the word every single day. And I seek after the Lord, and I read the living word. You got to read the living word. You got to ask Jesus, Lord, I know that you are the living word of God. Speak to my spirit with your word. I did that stuff, but I want to just get practical. Get a plan. Get a plan. Right now, mine is I read Psalms, like a certain section of Psalms. I read the same section every day for the entire week. And then I read the Proverbs chapter that corresponds to the day number of the month. And then I'm reading through the Gospel of Luke right now. Also, get a time. If you value this, if you value getting the word in you, if you value planting seeds in your heart to yield a harvest of righteousness, to yield eternal life, you've got to get the word in you. So I want to encourage us to be a people that gets serious about getting the word in us. Okay, next slide. Next, prayer tends the garden of our heart. Prayer tends the garden of our heart. Notice in Mark 4, it says that some of the seeds fell on rocky soil. That didn't go well for them, did it? The garden didn't grow up. Other seeds started to grow, but then they got choked out by the cares of this life. What we do in prayer keeps our heart a good place for the words of God that have been sown into it to grow up into mature trees or plants or whatever you call them that yield a harvest. What we do in prayer. So practically, in prayer, the Holy Spirit prunes our heart. He prunes our heart. He takes things that are already working, prunes them so that they work better, like a good apple tree. Okay? I had maybe another one. Oh, Proverbs 4:23. This is understood in the Christian world. What we do when we're, quote, not praying affects our prayer life. It says pray at all times, right? Now, first of all, one of the ways I think you pray at all times, you pray in your spiritual language. So we've talked a lot about that recently. But I personally don't have enough words to pray all day long. But I can pray in the Spirit at any point while I'm driving or whatever. Even if I don't know what to pray, the Spirit intercedes for us, right? So spiritual language is an important part of tending our hearts moment by moment. Also, in addition to that, Proverbs 4:23, Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. It's a famous verse. What you do in those side conversations you're having at work, what I do in terms of, like, you know, watching a TV show that's just kind of just like, ugh, just don't feel good after I watch TV. What we do in the other times affects where we go in our prayer times. So we need to guard after our hearts with all vigilance, and that's part of this process of prayer. Okay, finally, fellowship. Hebrews 10, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need to be in fellowship. What do you do in fellowship? Talk about the word and pray together. Right? You do other things. I'm not trying to cast some sort of legalistic vision, but I'm saying, why is fellowship and edification? You talk about the things of God and what he's doing in your life and what he's showing you. So you're talking about his word. And you're praying together, right? So it says, do those things and do it together. So here's the picture. You're planting the seeds. Those are the words of God. You're tending the soil ahead of time so that the seeds can be received well and so that the trees that are growing even better. And then finally, like a group of farmers bent on cultivating the same thing together, we work together to train each other, to share best practices, to encourage each other, to hold each other accountable, and to do life together because it's just more enjoyable. So the word, prayer, and fellowship are how we sow to the Spirit and begin to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit in our life. Worship team, go ahead and come on up if you haven't already. And one last thing. I'm going to leave it, actually. It might come out later. So, Father, we just commit this word to you. We commit this word to you. I just pray, Father, that you would wash over our hearts. Wash over our hearts with this word, Lord. Holy Spirit, even as we worship you, Lord, we come before you and you would show us things in our hearts that you want more of, or you want to change, you want to bless us with, you want to transition. I just pray, Father, that you would be speaking. Father, we want to be a people that cultivates the things of the Spirit, Lord, and has a vision for cultivating your Spirit in our lives. Thank you, Father. Story for years. That's been my story for years. I need to be transformed. And the other reason I want to be transformed, because I want to walk in the power of God. Because people are hurting. People are hurting. People need God. People need healed of physical afflictions. And it says we can do it. But we need transformed by the Spirit of God so that we can do those things. Okay, I gave three practicals, but I think there's something underlying those practicals that I need to make clear so that people don't get stuck. We need to have a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit starts with humility. That sounds like, I'm wrong. This is not working. I need to change, and I can't do it by myself. A teachable spirit has submission to the Lord. It's not my will, Lord, but yours be done, because I trust you. I trust you, God. I know that your intentions are the best for me, so I submit your will. It talks about persistence. Lord, I fell 100 times, but I think I'm going to get it on this next one. And you get back up. And lastly, a teachable spirit's about ownership, because when we blame other people, we actually give... It's like, if I've got a problem and I say, oh, but they're the one causing it, now I can't change it. I start waiting on someone else to change my problem for me. That stinks. That stinks. So we need to have a teachable spirit. So I don't want there to be an unnecessary weight on the message. I think if we ask the Lord to develop in us a teachable spirit, we will become true, more and more true disciples of Christ, being transformed by his Spirit into the image of Christ and into the power of Christ. So we'll have emotional lives that are not all jacked up. Our wills will be aligned with God. Our thoughts will be good, and we'll walk in his power. So, Father, right now we just release a teachable spirit over this entire congregation, not even people that are just here today, but over the Village Vineyard. I release a teachable spirit. Just ask, Father, that you would release a teachable spirit over us, that we would be your disciples. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's go ahead and have the ministry team come up as worship continues. Let's have the ministry team come up. And right now, I don't have any particular, other than what I've already given, I don't have any particular word. If you need prayer, if something struck your heart and you feel like it'd just be great to have someone to pray with you, ministry team's up here, they'll pray with you. I might jump in if I get some sort of sense of something in particular. But particularly anything around any of this.